the book of Romans. It's full of practical doctrine and truth. It's very bold and pointed. You start in the book of Romans chapter 1, you'll find out it condemns this generation for sure. Can I say this politically incorrect enough? It flushes the alphabet soup people down the tubes. If you read it carefully, you'll see that. I use the book of Romans. I've used it thousands and thousands and thousands of times to win people to Christ. I read through the book of Romans many, many, many times in every calendar year. Tonight, I want to share a truth with you that will, I know I say this a lot, it will completely change your life if you let it. We often associate this chapter with government, money, that type of thing, but we have to understand that verses 7 through 14 deal with love. I have heard preachers preach that Christians should have no debt of any kind. I don't find that anywhere in Scripture. I do find that the Christian is not supposed to pay usury. That is an unjust amount of interest. Okay? Regular interest is one thing. But usury is your credit cards at 18, 20, 29, 30%. That's usury. Let's go back into our old TV days and you get a loan from a loan shark. And you're going to pay 30% interest compounded weekly. Or they're going to come break your leg or, you know, take your children away from you. Some of you, that would be a deal. No. But, you know, that kind of thing, that's usury. But if you're going to borrow somebody else's money, you're obligated to pay them back more than just you borrowed. That's just common courtesy. Now, unwise debt is never good. There's a difference between wise debt and unwise debt. I know people that save so much money, they're broke. That was a good deal. I saved 80%. Well, you bought $200 worth of it, and you didn't pay your other bills, so did you really save any money? I'm not against a good deal, but okay, I recently refinanced my house. I've refinanced my house twice since I got in it. I started at almost 5.5% interest, and I'm at 2.85% interest now. Well, the last time I closed, I didn't even pay any closing fees. Everything that I put into it, but I know people that'll refinance their house and then they'll put an exorbitant amount of closing fees on top of it. And over the long haul, they really didn't save anything. They just added to their mortgage. You have to be wise with your debt. Now, God tells us in verse number 8, we read it a little while ago, owe no man anything. Now, we think that's where we should never borrow money. Shouldn't owe anybody anything. But I want you to notice the rest of the verse. But to love one another. This is not in reference to money. This is in reference to love. We are not to owe somebody a love debt. God is not talking about money. He's talking about owing somebody in love. Let me ask you a question. How far in debt are you in love? Illustration here. Are your love credit cards maxed out? Are you in debt in the love category of life? I want to show you what God has to say about this. Everybody doing all right? Man, you look like I just smacked you with a 2x2s. All right, here we go. Number one, love is a debt to be paid. It is not a debt to get paid back to you. Love is a debt you pay. It is not a debt that gets paid back to you. Look at Romans chapter 13 again. Look at verse number 9. We could read verses 9 and 10. God goes through many of what we call the Ten Commandments. Look at the end of verse number 9. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So God says this is all in reference to love. And you say, well, I didn't kill anybody. Okay, but did you love somebody? I didn't steal anything, but did you love somebody? You say, well, I love everybody but these people. Look out. Look out. Matthew chapter 22, verse number 36, the Bible says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So God says that it is an act of obedience that we love one another. Love is not a commodity to be measured by what you get. Love is something measured by what you give. Love is not measured by what you receive. Love is measured by what you give. We selfish humans want to receive love, but God says we're supposed to love and not worry about being loved. Did you know the day that you forget yourself, not worry about what love you get, and you start wondering what others can get, it'll be the greatest day of your life? When you forget yourself and start investing in someone else. So we owe it to all our fellow mankind to love and not worry about being loved. Did you know you could love your neighbor? I'm talking about the people that live next door to you. That's hard for me. You know, Marcia's not really... I'm sorry, she's out in the car. I love my neighbors. I'm glad I have a neighbor that lives catty corner across the street. Every day he asks me to pray for him. He's got a son with cancer right now. Doesn't look like he's going to make it. I just found out this last week they had liver cancer, and pretty much so they're sending him home to die. A couple of weeks ago, he was in Florida, and he said, Pastor, he said, I'm down in Florida, and he said, my son's an alcoholic. He said, but he just got saved. And boy, he was telling me all about it and this, that, and the other. I thank God I've got neighbors like that. He got saved at a funeral that I preached. Man, he's on fire. He's Catholic. Matter of fact, after he had a bad spell with his own health, he called me over to his house. His wife's sitting out on the porch with us. And he said, I've already talked to my wife. He said, I'm going to be buried at St. Somebody's church. He said, but I've already cleared it with my wife. And he said, I want you to speak at my funeral. I thought, are you really sure? He said, now, he said, my priest isn't going to give the gospel like you are. He said, I want you to give the gospel. I want people to get saved. I said, I'll guarantee I'll do that, Richard. It'd be the first time they heard it in that church. Now, wait a minute. I love the guy. He's my neighbor. Any of my neighbors could knock on my door. If they need help, I'll be there. I'll do what I can do. You say, you think you're somebody, preacher. No, isn't that what love is all about? We have too many Christians who want a saving account full of love instead of a constant cash flow of them giving it out. We have too many people that want it stored up in a 501 or CD or a 401k. Is that the right number? 501c is the church status, and I knew that didn't sound right when it came out of my mouth. But a 401k or your investments, we want to store it all up and say, look how much I have. God says that makes me want to vomit. You're supposed to be giving it, not getting it. You see, we think we're to hoard it. God says you're supposed to use it. It's one of those things that's supposed to be like a nonprofit. You get it and give it. 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 And it's supposed to be a constant flow through your life. Listen to this statement. Wanting to be loved is lust. Do you know what the word lust means? Desire. So if you want to be loved, you are lusting. It is a desire that you get something. The desire to be loved, therefore, can never be fulfilled because it's only satisfied in giving and not getting. Many Christians run around unsatisfied in their Christian life. Well, these people just don't love me. No, they may not. How much do you love them? You're more concerned about how much love you get and not how much love you give. This is why so many Christians go unsatisfied. They want to be loved. They don't want to love. Love is a command by a law. It's not a feeling. Did you know you're supposed to obey the speed limit whether you feel like doing it or not? And when the guy pulls you over, well, he just didn't have a good attitude. You're the one that broke the law, not him. Don't get, and I've been stopped by police officers that didn't have good attitudes. I'll give you that. Last ticket I had for speeding was on my way to my wedding almost 32 years ago. Miss Wally was looking at our wedding album the other day, and I showed it to her, and she just giggled and giggled and giggled. I said, that's the last speeding ticket I ever got, Miss Wally, I promise you. But we've all had those experiences that some people are a little bit more pleasant than others. It didn't change the fact that you broke the law, whether you felt it or not. Well, I was only doing 9 over, not 10. If you're doing 1 over, they can stop you. Don't get upset. God said that, Romans chapter 13, verse number 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. It's not a feeling attached. It's an obedience to a law. Maturity knows what feelings should go with it. But it doesn't change the fact if you have the feelings or not. Parents, when your children are young, sometimes you tell them what to do because you love them. Whether they feel your love or not isn't the issue. The feeling isn't the issue. The obedience is the issue. Oh, I don't want you to run off without mom or dad. You don't need to run out in the street. A car's going to hit you. You're not going to see your kids playing tiddlywinks in the middle of the road and go out there and say, oh, I just love you. Do you feel it? Come back. Yeah, right. You're going to snatch them up by the hand and be beating the other end with the other hand. Amen. Get out of that road. They're not feeling your love right then. But you do love them. That's why you do it. Everybody doing okay? All right. Maturity knows what feelings should go. But whether you have the feelings or not isn't the issue.
That's right.
I want my children to love me and I want them to enjoy my love. But whether they feel it or not isn't the issue. We ought to obey. That's the most important thing. Eventually, maturity will catch up with it. So, number one, love is a debt to be paid. It's not a debt that is paid to you. Number two, the only way a person can love first is by being saved. Take your Bible, turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to use scripture to define what God says love is and how we get it. 1 John chapter 4, look at verse number 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is what? Born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now look at me. This old preacher's going to go to his grave preaching it's wrong for Christians to date and marry lost people. Because a lost person can't love you. They don't have the capacity to love you because they have a dead spirit. They're not born of God and they don't know God. But I'm going to go a step farther. I think you ought to be careful. Don't date somebody that's not right with God and in love with God because they're not loving you either. Everybody doing okay? Well, they say they're saved. Okay, but do they love God? He that loveth not knoweth not God. born of God and know God. Those are two very, very important things. Two of my three children are married. We met with their potential spouses when they were dating. Say why? I wanted to make sure that their spouses were A, saved, and B, that they loved God. We did pretty good in that aspect. Now, Ruth Ann didn't do as well, but we did real well. You married up, son. You did well. I taught you right. Now, wait a minute. And Michael married up, amen? He had trouble with his truck the other day. Mrs. Barnes' dimmer switch went out. I was dying. Inside joke. Can I tell you something? You really have to understand the fact that somebody that's lost does not know how to love. Why do you think the world's so nasty? They're not saved. They don't even have the capacity to love. They have a dead spirit. That's like going down to the cemetery, kicking open a casket and tell somebody down there to love you. Did you know dead people can't love you? Now listen to the statement very carefully. If they have a dead spirit, they have a dead love, they don't have the ability to love. It's dead. You cannot love with body and soul. You can lust. You can feel attraction. But two cows in the pasture can do that. Real love is a spiritual aspect. Because it involves God. God is love, and you can't get that without the ability to communicate with him. And with a dead spirit, you cannot communicate to God. You have to have your spirit born again. So a lost person cannot love you. Salvation is God loving us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He didn't have a warm, squishy feeling. That he gave his only begotten son. Ooh, there's action required. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 John 4:10, we saw here that God tells us that he loves us by what he did for us by getting saved. God paid our debt so that God could have us back. Now, we owe it to him to then follow on his terms. Go borrow $200,000 from the bank for your house and then tell them, well, I'm going to pay this back, but I'll just pay as much as I can each month. It'll be on my terms. Why do you do that with God? Why do we Christians look at God and say, God, you gave me everything I have, so I'm going to pay it back to you on my terms. I'll do it my way. You see, this is why religion has nothing to do with loving God. James chapter 1, verse number 27, the Bible says this, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Sounds like action to me, doesn't it, to you? It didn't say anything about a feeling. Now, notice God says it's doing, not feeling. Notice God says it's an action that you do, not an action that you receive. God first loved us. We love God because he first loved us. We had to receive his love so that we could love him back. Did you know if you had a child and you left that child, is all you ever did was feed that child, never spoke to it, never gave it any attention other than making sure its needs were met, that child would not know how to love? It's pathetic. A child needs taught to love. Guess what? We need taught to love. Us wanting to pay our own way is not loving God. It's the lust of the flesh. These churches and these religions that get up and say, well, you've got to live a certain way or you're not really loving God. Or you've got to do certain things. I was told tonight, Somebody's looking for a church. They went to a church, and the people who did not tithe, their names were put up on a screen in the church auditorium saying they didn't pay their tithes and they'd stay up there till they came and paid their tithes. Well, I hate to tell you something. It'll be a cold day where the booger man lives before that ever happens here. That's wicked as Hades. That's man and his religion. Can I tell you something? If you don't pay your tithes, I don't know. That's between you and God. And I happen to believe this. God has a way of getting it back far greater than I could ever put pressure on you. I'd rather let God convict you of it than me have to do it. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. We think we can be righteous enough for God to accept our way. We think we deserve to be able to do it our way because we've lived it long enough. The only thing you deserve is to die and go to hell because you're a sinner.
Yes, sir.
The only thing I deserve is to burn in hell forever because I am a sinner. Only by his grace, his mercy, that he saved us, and I ought to obey him and do it his way, not my way. You think I'm going to tell the bank under what terms they're going to accept my mortgage? Yeah, right. They're going to say, go find you another bank. You see, we refuse his gift to try to buy it back our own way. So much I want to say there. Number three, we love our fellow man by obedience to the Bible. By the way, that's why these churches want to have worship services and don't go soul winning. We want to feel love. We want to feel the Spirit. But we don't want to go out there and knock on doors and tell others about Jesus Christ. We don't want to do anything. We want to get something. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. Number three, we love our fellow man by obedience to the Bible. Look at Romans 13:10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. That means in order to love, we have to fulfill the law. That law isn't the Ten Commandments. That's civil law. That law is the law of love and the law of sin and death. And we have to fulfill that for our fellow man. We love others by giving God's love to our fellow man. You ready? That's why the flesh hates soul winning. Our flesh wants to be loved. It doesn't want to love.
Yes, sir.
Our flesh wants to come to church, feel good about what we got, get excited about truth, and then just sit on it and cash in on it. God says, I want you to take it and give it to somebody else. You haven't really loved him until you take what you have and give it to somebody else. And the best thing to give them is the gospel of Jesus Christ and his love and his comfort and his power. That is why churches want worship instead of preaching preaching and having the Holy Ghost work. A lot of folks can't handle a church like this. You know why? Because it moves you to action. It's amazing how many churches that people want to be Catholic and go in and feel good about throwing their 2 cents in and drinking wine with the priest and, hey, I did my prayer of the week and I can go do what I want now. We worshiped with the Holy Brethren. Do you know there's no such thing as a public worship service anywhere in Scripture? If you notice the sign out front, it doesn't say Sunday morning worship. It says Sunday morning church. You worship one-on-one with God. Worship's telling God how much you love him and why you love him. I love my wife, but we're going to talk at home a whole lot different than we talk here. Say why? None of your business. Everybody doing all right? That's why when a preacher gets up and really preaches, everybody gets mad. Say why? Well, they're just preaching for results. That's emotionalism. Well, what do you think going to church sitting on your blessed do-nothing is, wanting to get warm and squishy? Just because you want it running down your leg instead of your legs doing the running. You want to sit there and feel all warm and squishy, but you don't want to get up and get somebody from keep somebody from burning in hell. When it moves you to action, you have love. It is not love when you're sitting there doing nothing in it. Change your diaper and go on, amen? Boy, this one's going down the tubes fast. God paid for our salvation. Listen to this. But he put it on us to spread the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15, Acts 1:8, Acts 5:42. Turn to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, look at verse number 42. Bible says this, and daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Who are they? People from the church. Acts chapter 2. Notice they went to the temple and preached. Try that one once. Stand outside the local Catholic church and preach. That's what it's talking about. We were having a big day in Indiana one time. Brother Joe, Leanne, you probably remember this. We were in Harvey or Dixmoor having an outdoor service. Now, Harvey and Dixmoor are just south of South Chicago. If you know anything of the geography of South Chicago, that's where Al Capone's from. It's a pretty rough part of town. We were holding an outdoor meeting. We had been working and working and working and working and working in this one big neighborhood for days, passed out flyers. We're going to have a big open air meeting. We had a big, about an acre and a half, 2 acre lot there. We're going to pull up a couple trucks, preach from the back of a truck, give some things away to gather the crowd with, pull out and go preach somewhere else. Great, no problem. We're gathering people up on Sunday. It's late Sunday morning. We're gathering people up. And it's about 12-ish. We were going to have this service. And the college guy I was with, he said, now, Brother Bush, you going to go in there and talk to those folks in that church? I said, no. I was on staff. He said, doesn't the Bible say to get the gospel to every creature? Shut up. Just about that time, I'm standing there looking at that door. Door pops open, and it happened to be a black church. I don't give a rip what color it was. Guy said, can I help you? I thought, thanks, Lord. I said, we're having a preaching service down the road here. He said, y'all from that church in Indiana? I said, yep. He said, hang on. And the preacher's in there screaming and hollering. He's going at it. And old deacon, he's in the back there. He said, that church from Indiana's over here. They're fixing to have church down the road. He said, okay, folks, let's pray. He dismissed his whole church and they walked down the street to come to our service. Pastor's wife got saved. I don't know how many of his church members got saved. That man walked up to me. He said, I was wondering whether my wife was. I said, don't go there. I didn't preach in his church, but we got his church to come down, amen? I don't know how many of them folk got saved. Oh, there's so many funny stories like that I could tell. I won't tell the rest of that story, but see me later, I will. We got the police called on us on that one. Yeah, buddy. Then the police said, you got to get out of here. Well, we had a guy with an escape plan. He was a clown. He had a pillowcase full of candy and coins. And if things got rough, we could always point to him. He's supposed to stay on the one side over here. And he would take those things and... And of course, they see all these gifts go in there. Everybody goes that way. We can pull out, you know? No problem. We told the clown to go over there, and he got right over by the cop car. And when he threw it, it landed right on top of the police car. And there was about 300 people crawling all over that cruiser. We got out of town. We went to the next town. We got set up, and I think we were in Harvey before, or we were in Dixmoor, and we were going to Harvey. The guy that was running that service says, "Well, welcome to Harvey." They said, "Harvey, this is Dixmoor." We turned the PA off and preached without a PA in that service and got out of there fast, amen? Because they told us they were going to throw us in jail. Can I tell you something? We're supposed to get the gospel to every creature. He doesn't wanting us doing our way. He wants us to do it his way. House to house, in the temple, everywhere you go, cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Our responsibility is to get the word out and loving people by getting the word out and not worrying about how they accept it. Did you know going soul winning shows God and your fellow man how much you love them? Telling somebody else about Jesus Christ, getting them the gospel, is a way to say, "I love you," to God. May I ask you a question? How much have you told God you love him? Take some gospel tracts with you. Pass them out. Invite people to church. You know, people are hungry for a church that has the truth right now.
Yes, sir.
People are hungry for it. I talked to visitors today and they were like, "Man, we haven't been in church like this in a long time." I said, I wanted to say, don't confess your sins to me. Preachers aren't preaching truth anymore. Witness to people. Go door to door. Get them out in your neighborhood. Come to soul winning. Can I tell you something? You might encourage somebody by showing up at a soul winning time and going out with them. You say, "Well, I don't know what to say." Come go with somebody that does. We'll train you. Even if you just were the silent partner, it's fine. There's strength in numbers, but let me tell you something. First time you start seeing people get saved, it's going to get you excited enough to want, where you want to tell somebody. Invite people to church. If you can't give them the gospel, at least invite them to church. So many things I want to say, but let me just read it to you. Owe no man anything but to love one another. Huh. Let me ask you a question. In your marriage, how much do you owe in love? In your child rearing or as a child, how much do you owe in love? As a church member and a friend, how much do you owe in love? Is it all about what you get, or is it about what you can give? I'm not talking about your money. I didn't say one thing about your money tonight. Say why? Because this isn't a debt of money, it's a debt of love. It used to be a song, "Christ paid the debt I could not pay. I owe a debt." Well, he gave us a way to pay it. Let's go out there and pay our debt of love. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask you a question. Is your credit maxed out? Has it all been about getting everything you want? And then getting upset when you don't get what you want? You want to hold God hostage because you didn't get from him what you wanted? Let me ask you a question. How much are you loving him?